If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
David Bryant originally planned to be a doctor, but he soon felt he could do more for social justice as a lawyer. Bryant spent 25 years as a trial attorney, both for the prosecution and defense. He says he'll bring fairness back to the St. Louis County Prosecutor's Office if elected. Bryant is running against incumbent Melissa Price Smith for the Democratic nomination. You can find a conversation with her at stlpr.org. The winner will face a Libertarian opponent in November. Bryant joins me next on the latest episode of Politically Speaking. Let's hit the music.
This is the Politically Speaking podcast, the definitive show about Missouri politics.
We've seen a county government that has had smooth and steady leadership, and I think we're on a good path right now.
I realize the office needed a prosecutor to run it.
And we have a better solution of addressing those needs.
I don't think it's about a popularity contest. What I think it about is it's time for change.
Working together across city and county, across political affiliations, that we can start to find overlapping goals.
I had some moments where I had to, you know, lean into my courage.
You'll see us work together on areas of agreement, and you'll see us have difficult conversations when we don't agree.
And welcome to Politically Speaking. I'm your host, Rachel Lippman. Joining me today in studio is
David Bryant.
He is a candidate for St. Louis County Prosecutor in the Democratic primary. And David, since this is your first time on Politically Speaking, introduce yourself to our listeners. Who is David Bryant?
David Bryant right now is a lawyer, trial lawyer. I've been practicing trial law in criminal courts for almost 25 years. I've a person who's tried almost 100 jury trials. I know my way around the courtroom, tried cases in different jurisdictions in Missouri, including federal court, St. Louis County, Franklin County. So for 25 years, that's how I've identified myself as a trial lawyer.
And I noticed that you did have a gap of, I think it's about 10 years between doing undergraduate and then going back to law school and getting your JD. How did you fill those years, and what then drew you to make the decision to go to law school?
Sure. So my mom was a nurse, and so I used to read her science books a lot. And initially, my career was going to be a medical doctor. I was a science major in undergrad, but I wasn't so enthusiastic about it. It was just a way for me to help and make myself useful in society. So I ended up working at a lab. And when I got to the lab, I just, the way I looked around and just trying to figure out something else for myself, I thought that I would be a lawyer to be a part of social justice at that point. So I started going to St. Louis University at night while I was working at the lab, and that kind of took, law school took about 4 years, but all in all, working at the lab and the whole lab system took about 10 years. And before I, from undergrad to finally get into what I really wanted to do in life was pass the bar and be a lawyer.
And why was lawyer what clicked for you as this is how I can help people? Because I think a lot of people would sit and go, well, doctors can also help people.
You know, more directly, I think I began to want to impose myself in social justice issues, try and fight a lot of the issues that I'd heard about coming up about fairness in employment. I was really lucky to have that job as a lawyer, as a lab tech, but I felt like I was like the only African American there. And then I thought, you know, it's a pretty easy job. Maybe I could be more useful to make to be a part of social justice. Being a lawyer was so much fun. It unlike being a doctor, which is obviously a very helpful career, being a lawyer allowed me to be more creative, more dynamic and imposing myself into helping other people. Our courts have such an immediate impact on the lives of people. And just being a part of that equation where I can help people on either side of the equation, whether I'm a prosecutor or defense attorney, is just such a way to really impose into the immediacy of someone's life and have an impact.
Why was 2026 the year that you decided to make the leap from lawyer to political candidate to be prosecutor?
Just simply what's going on in our courts. You know, Ferguson was such a pivotal point for St. Louis, and it really changed a lot. It changed St. Louis, I think, in a very positive way. What Ferguson did for me was it exposed what I thought was some toxic policing and prosecuting, and that just seems to be what came out of the underlying problem. And then so many people came from around the world, fought and marched and helped St. Louis change things, and for the better. And then going forward, the person who was elected into it left. And from that point on, from our point of view, we just began to see things start going back to the old way of doing things. And, you know, I looked around. I have an extensive amount of experience in the communities affected by the office, and also have all this criminal experience inside of those courts. And I thought, you know, well, someone should do something. I have all this experience. It's easier for me to just say someone should do something versus stepping up to the plate. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to step up to the plate, win or lose. I'm going to offer my experience to help continue the progress that was fought for.
So give me an example of what you have seen of where you think that Ferguson agenda is being undone through the working of the prosecutor's office under its current occupant.
And you know, if you hadn't been inside of the criminal courts, you would not have known that, for example, when the office was first inherited by my incumbent, and this is not me throwing shade on anything, but the diversion program was the first thing to be under attack from our point of view. There was also an issue of I think there was a police integrity unit that began to get deprioritized. We would see policy of no bonds on certain cases, including nonviolent cases. And at the same time, the jails are getting backed up. People are dying in the jails. There's the death penalty back on the table. All these things I thought were directly opposing all that narrative that was fought for with protests. And you know, it just seemed like it was going in the opposite direction. And I could easily continue on the comfortable life that I had, or I could actually stand up for a society to help me build myself from zero to 100.
So you have touched a lot of different areas within the criminal justice system. You've been a prosecutor. You were a public defender handling both state and federal cases. Mm-hmm. You've done criminal defense private, and you were also traffic court commissioner, so quasi-judicial. Mm-hmm. How does all of that experience shape how you understand and will operate the St. Louis County Prosecutor's Office?
It gives me a unique perspective. Being a prosecutor initially, I learned so much from the individuals who I worked with as prosecutors. They really show me how prosecutors set the tone and command the courtroom. And I've always loved that. And then I also wanted to see the other side of it. I loved how the public defenders, how smart they were and experienced as trial lawyers. All that, I think, centers me on fairness. I'm not just focused on, you know, prosecuting a case that's charged and making sure that it gets prosecuted because it's charged. I really believe that the difference in me is that I'm really concerned with fairness and making sure the right result comes out. I've seen it from prosecutors, I've seen it from defense attorneys' point of view, and I've also listened to attorneys arguing for me in front of me as a judicial commissioner. And all that just informs me that, you know, nothing's more important than the correct result. And that's, I think, what focuses me. And I think that's the experience that I like to bring to the office.
How would you summarize your basic prosecutorial philosophy?
You know, just making sure we're analyzing the facts of any kind of issue charged, and being able to be open-minded with understanding that sometimes things aren't always the way they look. So it's not just prosecuting a case full speed after a person is arrested, but making sure we do a thorough analysis of the facts and the case. There's a sense of fairness that really should be more a part of the prosecuting philosophy, and not so much just let's make sure we get a conviction on a person. At the end of the day, fairness has to be the fundamental point of all of it.
so much of being the prosecuting attorney in a large office like St. Louis County is also about management. What would be your management philosophy in kind of handling what is essentially a small to medium-sized law firm?
What I would like to do is make sure that we have some experienced and dedicated professionals that don't won't need a whole lot of hand-holding, but know how to search for the fairness in any equation, have the experience to go and hold people accountable that need to be held accountable, and just build a culture that commits to the overall philosophy of fairness, but has the experience to impose that fairness where individuals don't want to be held accountable. So my management style, I intend to be, just hands-on, being able to talk to people. I think the more that we are friendly and happy with each other inside of an office and build a culture that like each other and also have the experience to be able to go to courtroom and do the job of litigating, then I think we'll be fine.
I remember you mentioning in an interview that you thought you might use traffic court commissioner to get on the pathway of the judicial side of things. What led to pivot to the elected office rather than to the appointed judicial path?
Oh, and that was such a comfortable spot I was in. I often question, should I have changed? But I also have a responsibility to the community that I live in. And when I looked around and began to see, this is really an issue that really should be addressed by someone. And I didn't feel like, the diversion course and all the things that Ferguson was fighting for was being taken serious. Now, fast forward to today, and I see those programs are on track, and that's good. I'm glad to see that, the office is now making them more robust. But to me, again, that speaks to transparency, not so much about dedication to those programs. I have a responsibility. I built myself from zero with nothing, with people who were willing to help me and people who loved the society and wanted to see me do better, wanted to see our society do better. It just didn't seem fair for me to look the other way when I have the experience to address an issue that I think is going on.
And what is the place that you call home in St. Louis County?
Right now it's in Blackjack.
Okay, so kind of a son of North County?
Yes.
And how are you seeing your community, whether that's Blackjack or North County more generally, be impacted by the current prosecuting attorney policies?
Well, right now, at this moment, I think that, whether it's me entering the race or, just the nature of the competitive race, I think that, it is being driven toward the ideology that Ferguson, that whole Ferguson catastrophe, the ideology that came out of that entire Ferguson catastrophe. So I think it's doing a lot better. But again, I think that speaks to transparency and dedication to those programs. Look, there's a lot of dysfunction going on, and in particular with youth. But you have to have a sense of fairness going into dealing with certain demographics. And, when I heard certain demographics being called future trigger pullers, for example, it still makes my heart sink, because, I've worked around Missouri and criminals come in all kinds of shapes and sizes and colors. I've never had a slang to address any particular demographic. And so it just felt like I don't know the future of some of these individuals. We have a system that is absolutely going to hold them accountable when needs to be. But to say we know what your future is and this is what you look like a future trigger puller or something, I just think that's the wrong starting point. That's what kind of jumped me into the race. That's the wrong starting point. I think in leadership, we have to remain fair. And we don't know what the future is for some of the kids. And don't get me wrong, some of them annoy me out of the window. And we have to hold the ones accountable that need to be held accountable. But but we also have to remain leaders and make sure we hold analyze the full circumstances of everyone. Even if you're it's a firearm charge, you're entitled to the full consideration of your circumstances. If you're no prior offenses, college bound, but you happen to walk on the wrong property with a firearm and charge with a firearm, that doesn't mean you're the best candidate to go to prison. But if the starting place is, well, you look like a future trigger puller to me, so you should go to prison, I just think that I have to start from a more fair place, and that's what I intend to do.
Is there one case that you've worked or handled in any of the roles that you've held within the criminal justice system that is really shaping your platform?
Is there one case that shapes
that just kind of stands out to you as the example of how you want to run the prosecutor's office, either because of the way the case was handled, for good or for not so good?
No, not exactly. Not really. I can tell you, I've handled so many cases as a criminal lawyer, and every time I handle one that I think is just crazy, I get another one. And I can, I could just give you examples of cases. I don't want to take up too much time just talking about war stories, but for example, there was a young lady charged with a sexual crime against a child, her own child, who was 8 years old and had a mental issue. And so you could tell the child almost anything, and he would repeat what you wanted him to say. And one day he was asked if he loves his mom. And somehow that turned into, yeah, I love my mom and we have a relationship sexually. This lady got charged and she sat in jail for 2 years with no bond, crying every day, and wouldn't take any deal. She said, I've never touched my child in any inappropriate way, wouldn't take any deal. And, I was able to help her. We had to take that case to court and try it because, again, once a case is charged, sometimes the philosophy is we're just going to push through and try to get a conviction on the case. So things like that, cases like that it informs me that, we have to be analytical and be present with facts and make sure we're understanding that we're charging the right people and make sure, we have the power to convict people and that's a very powerful office. But it's so important to be able to stand back and have poise and make sure we're charging the right people and convicting the right people. And so cases like that and numerous cases, kind of centers me and make sure, look, I have the skills to prosecute and litigate, but also want to make sure I have the heart and compassion to be open-minded and stay strong on fairness.
And that seems like where that slogan, every person, every case, every time, comes from.
That's where it comes from.
And so what does that look like practically speaking? How would you put that philosophy into practice at the prosecuting attorney's office?
It's hard work. It's hard work, but no cookie-cutter policies. I don't think we can just say you're charged with a firearm or whatever and say, therefore, you're going to jail. It's hard work. It takes an extra minute to analyze the case and center yourself on fairness. But that's what people are hiring us to do. And that's what I'm willing to do. And if it takes a little bit more time to bypass a cross-the-board policy, then we will put in the work and analyze it and make sure we analyze every case every time.
So you've got four platform areas on your website, and I want to take a chance to kind of dive into each of them a little bit. The first one is open and transparent justice, and I'm wondering what that means to you and where you think the office is currently falling short.
Well, again, when we say the office is moving back towards the importance of diversion programs, that's not something that we saw initially. And nobody knew that. So when I speak to transparency, I speak to things that shouldn't go on behind closed doors without an expectation that the public isn't looking. If diversion programs are important, they should have been important before David Bryan entered the race. And so transparency in that, I'm not going to proceed on policies that I think I want to proceed on despite what I'm running on or despite what I think the public wants. What I say, you'll get what I say. And if I don't if I don't think it's a good idea, I'll say that. I won't pretend like it is, and then, you know, when nobody's looking, do something different. And everyone may not agree on it. It's okay. It's okay to be different. But if it's what you believe, then do it. If it's not what you believe, don't do it. But don't do it because you think it's politically, you know, useful.
And I guess diversion probably fits into the next area of helping people before problems escalate. Where does the prosecutor slot into violence prevention?
Violence prevention is a community social issue. I think the more that we get out and the more we help people understand that we have a society worth living for, worth protecting, I think that'll ease a lot of the tensions, and hopefully we can get people to be more courteous. It's the real fundamental things that I see go wrong. Some of this violence is really just kind of petty stuff between people that plays out in the most catastrophic way. And I think that is addressed with fundamental stuff like courtesy. I hate to see traffic being so disrespectful. That kind of fundamental stuff bothers me. So violence prevention, I think, is, you know, by the time you get to the prosecutor's office with a violence case, it's kind of too late. We're prosecuting. We're holding people accountable. So violence prevention is a matter, I think, of just trying to tone down the tension inside of society. And I think I could do that by being more visible, helping people see better a hope, if you will, that we have a society that we love and should take care of.
Working together for safer communities is, I think, what most people would say, okay, prosecutor, public safety. But I'm wondering what your definition or thought is of public safety. How do you define that, and then where does the prosecutor fit into that definition?
Public safety is a function of all of us, police, prosecutor, and the courts. The prosecutor's job is, the police officer's job and detective's job will be to go into, obviously, a circumstance that has, where they are needed. But then they take their investigations to the prosecutor's office. Then it's the prosecutor's job to hold people accountable. And you have to have the skills and litigation experience in order to complete that part of the safety equation to make the detective's work useful. And then if you can hold someone accountable with the conviction, then it'll be the judges who determines, you know, what the ultimate punishment and sentence is. So when you say public safety, if you're referring to a circumstance that has, you know, played out, you know, those are the three components of it for me: the police, then the prosecutors supporting the police work, and then the judges coming in the end, deciding what's the ultimate penalty.
And making sure that an individual who is causing harm to the community, then the community is protected from them, keeping the community safer, basically.
Absolutely. If it's that egregious, certainly then we have the range of punishments available to take someone out of society. And, you know, but being measured, if it's not so egregious, the judges in San Luis County are super and fair at determining an appropriate sentence for individuals.
And your last point is a justice system that keeps up with the times. Where do you see the office falling short in keeping up with the times? Is this philosophy? Is this technology? What do you mean by that?
Certainly, I think I've talked to people who would love to see, you know, more modern technology, but I don't think I'm getting in so much into that part. I think what I'm talking about, what I am talking about is, for example, when you see policies of no bond on cases, and then you see the jails backing up, you see individuals dying in the jails. I think you have to take into account what's going on in modern society, which is that, you know, you're just simply not going to lock everyone up. You know, if this was 1800, you might lock everyone up who you thought was a criminal. But San Luis County has about 1 million people. And, you know, even if you had 10% or something, you just can't lock up everyone. So For me, it's a matter of looking at modern solutions. And as criminals get more robust, I think the prosecutors have to also be more active. We have to try more cases. We have to work as hard as they are to keep our jails under capacity and prosecute crimes as much as they happen.
I know you said that this is more about sort of thinking of the office philosophically and getting towards newer prosecutorial philosophies, but I do want to quickly touch on a little bit of tech, and I'm wondering where you see AI, artificial intelligence, in prosecution.
Well, that's a good question. AI is a super tool. I don't know that I've really delved into, you know, how useful it will be as the head prosecutor in St. Louis County. I know I've used it for so many other things, but I haven't really looked at how it can be integrated in and the work done as a prosecutor.
So when you announced your candidacy, you said that the region is still recovering from Michael Brown's killing in 2014, and then the division between law enforcement and the community is as wide as ever. Where are you seeing that most obviously, that divide?
Yeah, if you're in St. Louis, North St. Louis County, you can see it. I just feel like I feel like I don't have the robust trust that the police officers are the good guys. The police officers are there to help. And that's what I want to see. And I want people to understand that. And you'd be surprised at, you know, how young individuals just don't see it that way. And I would love to be a part of bridging that gap, because I'm going to tell you, coming up from the St. Louis County community, I really didn't myself understand. I have a real good connection with police officers until I became a prosecutor. That's when I began to lower that barrier, because, you know, I would meet with police officers all the time and realize these are young men with jobs, and their job is to help the community. And there's so many young individuals in St. Louis County now that still don't have that understanding, and I just want that to be more robust. And that creates a lot of problems. It creates a lot of problems with running from the police. It creates a lot of distrust. That has to be addressed. And I think when we do that, the police officers can be more robust in doing the job they need to do and help protecting a lot of the citizens that need them. But if they are on the verge of, you know, wondering whether or not there's going to be another Mike Brown protest because of the work they're doing, or, you know, they don't feel comfortable talking to neighbors or something like that because neighbors don't trust them, all that has to stop. And I think I would love to try and play a huge role in making sure the community understands the police are on the good side, and just building that relationship between police and.
But so much of Ferguson was communities realizing or experiencing that the police weren't on their side, that police were predatory. So how do you get around the fact that that was the reality in North St. Louis County and still is for some of the departments where they aren't under consent decrees? They aren't being forced to make that change.
And so much has changed. I can tell you so much has changed. It's such a different tone. It's not finished, but police officers have done such a great job in reaching out and demonstrating that they have a better, approach to communities. And I've seen it. And you just look, before Mike Brown, you might see a police officer, feel the attitude coming from him. And now you'll see a police officer waving. And that's a step forward. And that progress means something. And I think I need members in the community to also meet halfway. But that relationship is imperative. So I have seen police officers move towards the middle, move towards being more compatible in communities. But at the end of the day, that's how our system works. It's not going to be successful without police. It's not going to be successful without community engagement and all of us trusting each other. So no matter what, we have to have it. We have to fix it. And I'm going to be a part of it if I get an opportunity.
Obviously, the prosecutor's offices make the decisions on how to apply state laws to the circumstance of a case, but it is the General Assembly giving you the tools with which to prosecute. Are there state laws that are shaping how criminal justice and public safety look that you're like, yes, this is amazing, I want to advocate for this to go further? Or are there laws where you're like, oh, come on, Jefferson City, what are you doing here?
I take the laws as I get them. You know, I can always sometimes we talk among ourselves and analyze a statute and say, who wrote this? You know, and, you know, sometimes the people who are writing the laws are not in the courtroom. They're not lawyers. But what I am dedicated to doing is using the tools that they give me. They have the right intent, the right heart. The laws are always focused on trying to help. And so even though they can be written better, in my opinion, they are useful and I'll use them to the best that I can.
I know you have talked about a lot of things that you want to see the office doing differently or you will do in the office differently. But are there any programs where you would keep what is in existence and maybe just tweak it a little bit?
Well, I got to admit, I think from what I can hear, and I've been in the room with my opponent a lot, and I think they're changing back to being more, having more emphasis and importance on the diversion programs. And I think those are very important programs. And I'm not talking about the court treatment programs. I'm talking about the program that was inherited, a prosecutor in-house program. And I think that's important. And I would like to do that and continue it and improve it. But also, what's really important to me and really a major concern of mine is just getting in the court and litigating. You know, I hear so much about how the caseloads are backed up, and then I go into the courthouse, and I don't see any cases being tried. Two cases, 2 and 3 years old. I don't understand why we don't have just digging ourselves out of that caseload backup, just being able to take those old cases to court right away. And so what I would like to do is, I don't know if this is working right. Obviously, I don't think it is. But I think one of the first, my main focus will be to figure out why those older cases are not in court.
We hear a lot about St. Louis County, its budget, how that impacts different areas of the county. It can impact staffing, pay in your office. Do you have the relationships with the elected officials in the executive and legislative branches to protect your office's budget and to advocate for getting more attorneys to try cases, for example?
I think the legislative branch is as concerned with public safety as anyone. And so I'm absolutely certain that they will make sure that the prosecutor's office has the budget to do the job. You know, it'd be my responsibility to make sure I bring in the right people to help manage the budget. My job has been focused as a litigator and knowing how to make sure I go to court and hold people accountable. But in terms of the budget, I do have a relationship. I know the legislative branch of St. Louis County. I can't say that we, you know, have personal relationships yet, but we are all we're all on the same page. We're all looking to do the same thing, which is make sure we have the best St. Louis County possible. And so I anticipate that we won't get shortchanged at all by individuals with the same goal, which is making sure St. Louis County stays safe, making sure St. Louis County's prosecutor's office is funded enough in order to do just that.
We've talked about securing resources for the office. Do you think that you as a candidate will have enough resources to get the message and the platform we're talking about here today out to the voters you need to reach?
That's been tough. You know, I've never been a politician. I've just been a useful trial lawyer. So having thought that I could take my trial experience into this arena and and have it recognized as useful has been a major challenge, you know, and just being able to find the money to get the word out is a challenge. But, you know, welcome to politics. I'm doing the best I can to help people understand that I'm an alternative, that, you know, I have this useful idea of as an alternative. But, you know, the race isn't over yet. I'm working every day to try and find the resources to help people see that alternative.
Are there any races within St. Louis County or the federal offices that you think may have an impact on your race?
I just think that everyone is in it. I think we all have different approaches to the right thing, but at the end of the day, we're all looking to do the right thing. That could just me being naive, but it seems to me that everybody has just a different idea of how they want to help. So that being said, we all have the same goal in mind. I know I want to use as much of my experience as I have to help build a better, stronger, modern St. Louis County. And I think that anyone else in other races has the same goal. And somewhere along the way, we'll all meet at that goal.
Politically Speaking is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, part of the University of Missouri St. Louis. St. Louis County Prosecuting Attorney candidate David Bryant, anything else that you want to tell our listeners today?
Can I say that, you know, August 4th?
Absolutely.
August 4th is such an important time to be an extremely important part of your community. I'd love for people to visit my website, david4stlouiscountyprosecutor.com. Look me up and make some informed choices, but most importantly, be a part of your county.
Until next time, so long.
Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, creating laundry rooms with improved storage, workspace, and everyday function for one of the home's most used spaces. Inspiration at callmosby.com.